أما أن تقول السلفية حزب وتسكت، لا، تقول السلفية حزب الله، لأن الله سماهم حزب الله. نعم.
You don't achieve anything except by striving, by effort. And he mentions a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet said, "Man khafa adlaja, wa man adlaja balagha al-manzil," which means that whoever fears, then he will leave at nightfall. What this means is that he's talking about when a person wants to go out on a journey, and he fears either delay or harm in the journey. So what he does is he leaves at nightfall. Right? In other words, to make it easy for him and quicker for him to travel. And whoever leaves at nightfall, then he will certainly reach his destination. In other words, the hadith is indicating that a person who is determined and a person who thinks and plans, then he will be a person who will reach his destination. And then he continues, indeed, the commodity of Allah is expensive or valuable, and indeed, the commodity of Allah is paradise. Now what this means is that the thing which Allah is offering, the product or the thing, the commodity which Allah is offering is paradise, and paradise is the most expensive of all, or the most worthy of all things. Also the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith which is ascribed to him, he said, "Al-qayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut, wal-ajizu man atba'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna 'ala Allahi al-amani." Which means that the intelligent person, the smart person, the shrewd person, is the one who calls himself to account. Meaning, he always looks at himself, he evaluates himself, وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ, and he does deeds for what comes after death. Right? He prepares for what comes after death. This is the intelligent person, because he knows that when he dies, and he goes to the grave, his family is coming with him, and you know, his riches come with him, and when he enters the grave, his family and riches go. His family goes back, and his riches go back, and his wealth goes back. And what's left with him? Nothing but his deeds that he did. There's no clothes on his back. There's no jewelry on his fingers. There's no necklaces around his neck. There's no cars parked by the side of his grave. There's no mansion in any place. His family's gone. Give it 6 months, they'll have forgotten him anyway. They'll be too busy in their own life. And he's dead and buried, and nothing is left with him except for his good deeds. That's the only thing. So the intelligent person, according to this hadith ascribed to the Prophet ﷺ, is the one who calls himself to account. He sits and he looks and he thinks at what he's doing and what actions he's doing, and he prepares for what comes after death. And the incapable person is the one who allows his soul to follow its desires. So the desires, the soul, you know, his soul whispers to him, buy this and follow this and do that and seek this pleasure and seek that lust and seek that desire, whatever. Right? So he allows his soul to follow the pleasures and the desires. And all he does is just makes, he just simply has wishes from Allah. Right? So he doesn't prepare anything. Right? He follows his soul, he follows his desires, and then he just has cravings and wishes. He thinks, oh, maybe Allah will forgive me, and maybe this and maybe. And these are just cravings and wishes. They're not based in anything. They don't have any foundation in his deeds or in his actions. So he just isn't, like as we say, he's in, he just has vain hopes. He just has hopes and desires. So then, this leads us to a verse in the Quran which follows on nicely, in which Allah says, "Am hasibtum an tadkhulu al-jannata walamma ya'lamu Allahu alladhina jahadu minkum wa ya'lamu as-sabirin." Allah says, do you really think that you will enter paradise without Allah having known first those amongst you who strive hard in His way amongst you, and until He knows those who show patience, those who have sabr? So in other words, do you really think that paradise is so easy for you to enter without Allah determining first to see which of you is truly striving, which of you is truly patient, which of you is truly able to restrain and withhold himself from those desires, from those evils, from those lusts, from those pursuits that people have? Do you think you will enter paradise without Allah knowing which of you is worthy, which of you is not worthy? In other words, although paradise is the commodity that Allah is offering, and He's inviting us to participate in that trade, then at the same time, and it's an easy trade, then at the same time, it's also a test and a trial to see, you know, which person is going to succeed and which person not going to succeed. So then the Shaykh goes and he goes and he says that basically every person who does work, he will always be rewarded. This is a rule in life. You do work, you get rewarded. So everyone who does deeds, he will definitely have a reward. And everyone who is neglectful, he will always be remorseful. He will always feel sorry. He will always feel sorry. And everything in this world has an end, without a doubt. And everything that is yet to come is very close. And we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each one of us certain abilities. He has given us the certain capabilities by which we can act and by which we can benefit ourselves in this life and the hereafter. And this thing which Allah has given us is life and the faculties of hearing and seeing and the ability to speak and the ability to know and understand and the ability to act. These are the capabilities that Allah has given each and every single person. And the ability to know what is right and what is wrong and to act upon what is right and keep away from what is wrong. This is what Allah has given to each and every single person. No one is forced to do anything. So this ability which Allah has given us is the ability by which we are involved in this trade which Allah has offered to us. This trade to have paradise in turn for the good deeds. This is the price, good deeds. And so the greatest thing that a person should fear, the greatest thing that each one of us should be fearing, is that this ability is removed from us so that we can no longer participate in this trade which Allah has offered us. And this now brings us to the hadith, or the main content of this talk, which is a statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has been ascribed to him. And in this hadith, a messenger said, "Badiru bil a'mali sab'an." So the messenger said, you should be hasty, you should be quick in doing deeds before seven things come to you, before seven things overtake you. Then he mentions each of these seven things. So he said, first of all, are you waiting except for a poverty which is so intense that makes you forget? Now, in other words, this is the number one, first thing. A poverty, meaning being poor and being needy. So poverty comes to you, faqr, poverty. This is the first one. Second one, or riches or wealth which overwhelms you. So the second thing now is riches and wealth. You have loads and loads of wealth. It comes to you and it distracts you and you become heedless. The third thing is a corrupting illness, a harmful illness. An illness comes to you and it debilitates you, meaning it doesn't allow you to perform actions anymore. The fourth thing, old age. You reach old age and you become senile. And you can't think. You can't act. This is the fourth thing. And the fifth thing, sudden death. Death comes to you very quickly and very suddenly. So no more deeds for you. Seventhly, the sixth thing, the Dajjal, I mean the Antichrist, this great liar who will come at the end of time. And his evil is an evil which is absent, but which is yet to come, which the people are waiting for. So when the Dajjal comes, then it will be a fitna for the people, and to do good deeds in the turmoil, in the tribulation, it will be very hard for the people to maintain their faith and do good deeds. This is the sixth thing, or the sixth obstacle that can come mentioned in this hadith. And the seventh thing is the sa'ah, which is the establishment of the hour, that the day of judgment is established. And this hour, mentioned in the hadith, that this is the most bitter and the most calamitous of all of them. The most bitter occurrence and the most calamitous of all of them. And so this hadith, the Shaykh says that this is a hadith ascribed to the Prophet ﷺ. And so he says that these are very comprehensive words. They contain a beautiful admonition. And so inshallah what the Shaykh is going to do is just expand upon each of these seven things one by one. So he says, first of all, the first calamity that can come to you. So again, I want you to understand the entire picture. What is the picture? The picture is that you are going to die, no doubt. And when you die, you will be one of two people. Either you will be wretched or you will be happy. If you are wretched, then you are going in the hellfire. If you are happy, it means that you have prepared with your deeds for the hereafter. And so when you understand that, then you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He has offered, then this is His trade. You know, He's offered the people to participate in the trade. And this trade is that you rush towards good deeds, and then in turn, I will give you paradise. A paradise is Allah's commodity, and our price is the good deeds that we do. So we exchange paradise for our good deeds. Allah has made it easy to do good deeds. Very, very easy to do good deeds. You can smile in someone's face, that's 10 good deeds for you. You can recite a surah in the Quran, the shortest surah in the Quran, in whichever, any of the last 10 surah, and you can quickly amount hundreds and hundreds of rewards. This is how Allah has made it easy to participate in the trade. And so, this is the easiest trade for the most expensive of all commodities of products, which is paradise. Yet, at the same time, Allah has given us the means by which to do the good deeds, which is our faculties, our bodies. However, there is something that we should be fearful of. And that fear is that we fear that there are seven things that will take us away from doing these deeds. Just like, for example, a man, he provides for his family, provides for his children, and he works, he's the only one who can work, and he fears that he might become old, or he fears that he has an accident, he can't work anymore. Who's going to provide for his family? Who's going to provide for his children? Now, people have these types of fears. In the same way, a person should be fearful that any of these seven things come to him, and therefore he's unable, or his opportunity to participate in that trade for paradise with his good deeds has been cut off.